Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nick Rodriguez Podcast. I am thrilled to welcome Sinjin Days to the show. Sinjin, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a Friday. I'm happy. The weather's good. Girlfriend's good. Dog is good. Good. So no complaints over here.
No complaints. And just before we started, we're talking a little bit about the NBA playoffs. Hawks obviously won. They, you know, took care of the Knicks in five games. And but then you mentioned LeBron. I guess you're a LeBron fan, and I am too. But they fall in defeat to the Suns. What do you think of the NBA playoffs so far? You've been keeping a lot of it. You pay attention to it, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. I don't really watch that much during the regular season. I feel like most people know I'm not a diehard fan like that, but I'm definitely a Hawks fan. Just, you know, grew up here, live here. So, you know, seeing Trae Young and what he's doing with the Hawks, John Collins as well, you know, very, very young team. So I'm excited for the Hawks' future, but obviously, you know, LeBron losing in the first round, that doesn't tarnish his reputation or anything. I mean, 18 years, he's the king for a reason, you know. So, you know, hopefully AD comes back next year. Hopefully he comes back in shape. So he might have to have a one-on-one convo with LeBron and have a Taco Tuesday talk.
No question about it. I think it's so great to see Atlanta sports doing so well. You know, we talked a little bit about the Braves. You know, you have Ronald Acuna, who's a superstar. Not only is he a great player, you know, Freddie Freeman's a great player, but he's got the personality, the bravado. And then you see it with Trae Young, who went to New York and just dominated. And I think it's great for the city of Atlanta. And I'm sure we'll get into it later. But what's it like for Atlanta sports, college and pro, to be at such a high level with just guys that you just love, even if you weren't a Hawks or Braves fan?
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. I mean, Atlanta is definitely, you know, I turned 30 this year, so I still consider myself relatively young. definitely a young city, and seeing the young superstars ball out like they're doing, and, you know, having the swag like Trae Young, you know, hitting the three with, I think, like a minute left in the game. Then he bowed, you know, in the middle. I love that. I know some people don't like it. I like that. You have to have some type of arrogance about you. If you got it, you got it, you know, and Trae Young definitely has it. And then Acuna, you know, he hits the home run, all the bat flips. It's crazy. He just makes sure he does that when he knows it's out of the park. You know, a couple of years ago, it was like times where he ended up hitting off the wall and, you know, the coach and teammates got onto him about it, but the park, I don't care. You could, you know, jog around all the bases, you know, backwards for all I care. It's good. And then obviously with, you know, Georgia Tech here in Atlanta, you know, very, very young program with, you know, Coach Collins at the helm and, you know, Jeff Sims at quarterback, you know, true sophomore starting. You know, I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing him, Jahmyr Gibbs, a lot of the, you know, Malachi Carter at receiver, a lot of the guys out there I'm still close with, ready to see them go out there and ball in the fall.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I think, you know, I'm sure you more than me are just so excited to be able to go to a game. Normally, I know, I guess they had some sort of capacity last year, Georgia Tech, and, you know, a lot of teams did, but I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's 100% capacity for Georgia Tech, which is just awesome and just good that we're kind of heading in the right direction with everything. In a normal year, right, so you can scratch last year, how often are you able to, you know, see them and, you know, kind of pay attention to them?
Yeah, I haven't missed a game since I've graduated.
Okay. Yeah.
Even last year during the COVID year, really good friend of mine. He has a suite there, real close with him and his whole family. And then, you know, kind of brought me and Ashley in, you know, a couple years ago. Ashley's my girlfriend. And, you know, he joked with me. He was like, as long as you're dating her, you always have tickets. So we've been dating 3 years now. So I guess I'll keep her around. Last year was very different. Not seeing the stadium, you know, it's never obviously, you know, to 100% like Alabama or anything like that. But knowing that it's going to be you know, even lower capacity last year. So hopefully this year, you know, game one, I know it's a night game. I forgot who we're playing, but I know it's a 7:30 kickoff. So hopefully all the Jacket fans come out, they rally, we get a W, and, you know, we celebrate and have a great night. And then hopefully that, you know, pushes momentum, you know, down the line throughout the rest of the season. So I'm excited for that. Excited for everything to go back to normal.
Yes, I'm with you on that one for sure. I've had the chance to go to a couple of Braves games. Just a different feel. You know, you couldn't go to a Braves game all last year, which was kind of a bummer. They had such a great year. Yeah. But talk to me about that first game. And I think it's Northern Illinois. Saturday, September 4th, night game, as you said. What do you think that atmosphere is going to be like? I mean, packed, I imagine, going to be loud. You know, there's a lot of exciting young players. You know, what's that first night going to be like at home?
I think it's going to be insane for, you know, a lot of the people that weren't able to make it to the games last year, for us to be able to open up a night game in downtown Atlanta. Nothing. The atmosphere is just going to be insane. And I'm going to make sure I'm getting out there early. you know, it's going to feel really good, you know, being able to see the players on Yellow Jacket Alley, interacting with them, dapping up, you know, all the coaches that are still there that I know. So, I mean, it's going to be insane. I might shed a tear, but I'll try not to.
So going back to when you played at Tech, and you had a lot of great moments playing for Tech and, you know, playing at Bobby Dodd and everything like that. What were some of your favorite traditions being a Yellow Jacket?
I would say one was Yellow Jacket Alley, especially, you know, when I was a freshman, I would see, you know, going through the recruiting process, you would see the players walking down, like, you know, John Dwyer, Bebe.
Right.
Different people like that walking down and like, wow, I can't wait to do that. And then, you know, campus, doing that, seeing, you know, classmates that I, you know, obviously being class with, and then seeing friends down there, and then seeing my mom and dad, and, you know, giving them a hug, giving them a kiss. That was something that was, you know, a tradition of ours, you know, seeing them before the game. Fun fact, they never missed a game home or away while I was in college.
So this is the days, this is like a day's trademark. I mean, you guys just don't miss games. I mean, it's like
not at all.
Unbelievable.
Not at all. You know, I think, you know, for them, I was on scholarship, so they didn't have to come out of pocket for anything. So I think it'll probably a little bit of those dollars that they probably saved for college, they definitely used those on airplane miles. That was fun being able to see them and, you know, talk to them, you know, before every game, you know, in person, not just over FaceTime or anything like that. So that, and then I would say seeing Dr. Rhino, he would always crack my back and my neck, or readjust it. I'm not sure exact term that you should be using, but I just say, you know, cracking people's back. But doing that, it always loosened me up. Love that. And then, you know, kind of pregame, just hanging out with teammates and, you know, kind of fooling around, you know, throwing the ball, trying to catch the ball over each other, different things like that. And I would say those are probably like some of the traditions that I definitely miss.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, there's nothing like, you know, being with your teammates. You know, that's a fun, you know, feeling and everything like that. But did anyone have any like weird superstitions? I know we've talked to some people who've played baseball, and they can be pretty specific, especially like pitchers, about how they approach the day, certain meals. Was there any teammates that had, you know, very, very specific game day routines that they had? You know, they had to wear a certain pair of socks, or they had to, you know, certain wristbands, anything like that?
Not that I can think of from the top of my head. I'm sure probably like once we get off, I'll probably end up thinking.
Yeah, you'll think of several. Yeah,
something that I would do, whether it was a night game or, you know, a noon game, I wouldn't eat. Only thing I would eat was like two pieces of toast with butter and jelly on them. Like that's all I would eat.
Wow.
Yeah, I have no clue why or anything.
Guess it worked.
I would never be hungry before games, and
wow,
you know. So that was kind of my thing. I guess that might be a little weird thing, but
yeah,
that was my ritual.
What about when you you played in different stadiums? You played in several different stadiums other than Bobby Dodd, and obviously Bobby Dodd is, I believe, one of the oldest stadiums in college football, which is super cool.
It is the oldest. It is the oldest.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it is the oldest, because then you have Penn and Yale, but I guess they're a little bit younger than Georgia Tech. But what are some other stadiums that you played in other than Tech that stuck out with you, either a great game or just a really cool atmosphere that you really enjoyed playing in?
The loudest stadium I ever played in was Lane Stadium, so that at Virginia Tech. When they would play, I think it was Sandman.
Their
thing. And, I remember going on the road, I think it was like a sophomore, and I was red shirt, or I knew I wasn't red shirted, but I wasn't really playing. So it's like, I'm just here so I won't get fined. Pretty much. <Right. laughs> went there, and literally the whole stadium is rocking. Like, I couldn't hear the snap count, the cadence, anything. And we would practice in the practice facility, kind of injecting basically sound into the practice stadium so we could basically try to mimic how it's going to be at Virginia Tech.
Right.
And then another stadium, unfortunately, I would say is UGA. Yeah. I mean, still at the end of the day, I'm a college football fan, so traditions and things that they have there, and their stadium was pretty cool going there as a true freshman, as a red shirted, and it was a night game, really cold, and literally the whole stadium, everybody was like pretty much wearing black, insane. And then another time, senior year, fast forward, playing in Athens and hearing the crowd go quiet after Harris nails the field goal and then DJ White has the pick. So from crazy loud to, dead silent. Those were probably, I would say, the two stadiums that were the most memorable.
Yeah, those are always the ones that jump out, right? I mean, Virginia Tech, Enter Sandman, that's a classic. And then, beating Georgia. Butker, I remember that game. I mean, he kicked like a long field goal. Yeah. It was no chip shot. It was a long one.
Three. Yeah. So yeah, every time I see Harrison or talk to him, I always say thank you for that. He's like, Sinjin, you gotta stop. I'm like, you were the pretty much the reason why, my senior year we were able to beat UGA. So anytime I come across somebody UGA and you want to talk about Tech, it's like, hey, last time I played you guys, I beat you. So that's something I could take to my grave. So
yeah, exactly. So, obviously, let's go back to like the beginning. So why football? How did you first get introduced to the sport of football? And did you play other sports in high school and maybe in your early years?
Yeah, so I started playing football at the age of 5. Always wanted to be like my dad. He's my hero, superhero, all of that. Wanted to be like him, and I was actually kind of a crybaby. I play football to kind of toughen up. So
right,
get out there, I'm fast, I'm doing everything. It's like, all right, clearly this is the most athletic kid out there. playing when I was 5, so that was really the reason why I got into football. And then another backstory with that is, so my middle school age. Grew up in the Marietta area, and we were districted for Osborne High School. So I don't know if you're familiar with the area, not the best area to grow up in. A lot of single parent households, a lot of crime in that area. And growing up playing football, my dad was the head coach, trying to give back to the community, do as much as he can. And we didn't have a lot of coaches that people that wanted to volunteer. It's not a paying type job. Dad asked my mom is 5'2", maybe 100 pounds. He asked her to coach So she starts coaching O-line and D-line.
Wow.
For 3 years, and she would watch more football like Saturdays and Sundays more than, you know, I would at that age, and more than my dad probably combined. So my mom and my dad coached me playing football growing up. So not a lot of people can say that.
I was going to say, not, I mean, yeah. You have some dads, you know, if, like if we take it to any sport, tennis, golf, whatever, you know, baseball, whatever, any sport, I think it's cool to have one parent, you know, be a coach, but to have both mom and dad, I mean, there's no excuse. Who was more harder on you? If you fumbled or you made a mistake, was it mom or was it dad?
I would say my mom, but I couldn't like, you know, I would have to say Coach Paula. I couldn't say mom. I'd like Coach Paula or Coach Calvin. That's, you know, my dad's name. So, yeah, my mom was definitely, definitely harder on me. And even, you know, when growing up, you know, if you get in trouble for something, not like sports related, my dad was the disciplinarian, but my mom, she could just have a look at me and I'm like melted. I feel like I did like committed a crime or something. you know, moms always have that effect on people. So yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to know, like, how was it? I guess your dad was probably there first, but what was it like when that first practice or first game, when your teammates found out your mom was also going to be coaching the team? And not only that, but probably the biggest people on the team, the offensive and defensive line. What was that first like?
Yeah, I mean, they were looking at her because she's very petite. You know, she had, I guess, nice body or whatnot. And I would catch them looking at her. Like, yo, chill, that's my mom. Oh, my bad, bro. And but eventually, you know, it kind of, you know, that died down. And, you know, of course, they, you know, throw little jokes, you know, at me or whatnot, like everybody does, you know, friends and teammates, things like that. But it wasn't that hard of an adjustment, honestly, surprisingly.
Yeah, that's super cool. And then just going off of that, what was it like for you to, you know, you have them, I mean, seem like great parents, great role models for you. You know, they're with you through high school in your high school days as an athlete. How did they help you when it came to the recruiting process and ended up, you know, choosing a home in Atlanta for Georgia Tech? How did they play an influence on you?
Yeah, the number one thing we really did was pray. You know, on for the best decision, you know, for me short term and long term athletically and, you know, also academically, because football, you know, it's not going to last forever. It's not a 4-year decision. It's a 40-year decision.
Right. Exactly.
So figuring out, you know, a school that had, you know, obviously great education. Second thing was having a coaching staff, you know, that had the same beliefs as us. You know, we're Christians. That's something that's, you know, very big for us. And, you know, Georgia Tech had that, not saying other schools didn't.
Right.
But, you know, Tech had that, especially with, you know, Derek Moore. He was the team chaplain there. You know, he's at South Carolina now.
Right.
But, you know, knowing I could go to somebody and talk to him about life struggles, you know, things I might not want to talk to my parents about.
Right.
You know, chop it up with him and, you know, and talk with the coaches as well. And then, you know, one of the things that was especially for me is I wanted to play offense. A lot of schools are going through the recruiting process, wanted me to play, you know, safety or corner. And I was like, I appreciate it, but that's not what I'm trying to do. You know, Georgia Tech offered me at quarterback and obviously end up moving positions, different things like that. But those are really, you know, the things that were important to, you know, me and my family and, you know, having, I guess, proximity to where, you know, my parents would be able to come to games. Obviously, if I would have went to, you know, Oklahoma State or something like that, they're not going to be able to make every home and away game. That would be insane.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Living in Marietta, hey, that's a, you know, 30-minute drive for a home game. So it all worked out. Everything happens for a reason. So yeah, no regrets.
Absolutely. Well, Stenjen, I really appreciate you coming on today's show. I want to take you to our last segment where we talk about our hero highlight and home. Who would you say your hero is?
Hero. I think it can kind of go with me actually having to say, I would say, you know, my dad and my mom. I mean, people that have always had my back, through the thick and thin, no matter, you know, what situation I'm in. I know I could always go to them, always guided me in the right direction. You know, people I look up to and people I try to, you know, strive and be like as much as possible.
I think that's awesome. And we do the three H's on every episode. And I think it's cool for me to hear how many people say their parents or their spouse or their girlfriend. So I think that's really cool. And I think it just shows like all these successful people we've had on the show, and a lot of them tribute to their family. I mean, I think that's pretty special. And I think that speaks volumes, having that great support system. Oh my goodness. I getting tongue twisted over here. All right. The second H we have is highlight. What would you say is a strong moment in your career that just really stands out to you?
Can I say two?
Of course.
Okay. Probably been in the rules. I would say one, beating in Athens, you know, senior year, that, you know, was amazing, huge monument, you know, for me. Then I would say the Orange Bowl. The way to, you know, I mean, I had literally my best career game ever in my last college game. It's literally like a freaking movie. doing that and then winning, and it was on New Year's Eve. So, but when the game was actually done, it was New Year's. So being able right. to celebrate, you know, with, you know, close friends, teammates, and, you know, my parents were actually down on the field. I don't know how they
got
on
the field. Of course.
But on the field, I have a lot of family that lives in Miami too. So they were able to come to the game too. So it was kind of like a little mini family reunion. So that was a huge highlight for me, my career.
That's pretty special. And it gets Dak, right? Was it Prescott at Mississippi State back then? Okay. Yeah. That's you got all the great memories. All right. Last H is home. It's a special shout out that you would like to give to somebody.
Special shout out to my dog, Bud. he's a pit mix, and we rescued him almost a year ago. You know, pit bulls, they get, I guess, kind of looked down upon. They think they're aggressive, but
definitely.
Buzz is far from that. He's babied. He has goggles. I don't. I think you might have saw the picture I posted, but they're called goggles. And he's the biggest baby. So freaking spoiled. So I would say that's my shout out is to my dog Buzz.
That's fantastic. I'm a pit bull boxer owner myself. So very special, loyal dogs, okay. as you know, Sinjin, but. Dude, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us. I really appreciate it. How can people, you know, learn more about you and everything that you're doing?
Yeah, if you follow me on, I mean, Twitter, Instagram, I mean, Facebook, if you just type in Sinjin Days, SynjinDays, or if you just look me up on my handle, it's at SDays10. So first initial, last name, and then my collegiate number 10. You'll see the life of me working out, time with the girlfriend, hanging with friends. I'm pretty much an open book, so you'll be able to experience my life.
Well, awesome. Thank you again so much. And guys, that wraps up another episode of the Nick Rodriguez Podcast. For more, you can go to nickrodriguezpodcast.com.